Well, our Matthew reading this morning has got some unpleasant behaviors in it. And it's unpleasant, the behaviors are unpleasant primarily because of who the people are that are doing them. Jesus is talking about the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, people who should know better, and pointing out that these people do know something, but they don't do it. There's a proverb that goes around in our house. I don't know if it counts as a real proverb or not, but it's sort of a take on when people, you know, when somebody does something and doesn't work out the way they want, and you say, well, they mean well. And what we say in our house frequently is that somebody means well, but they don't do well. And I think what we're looking at here is people who maybe mean well, but don't do well. And we could look at this passage in Matthew, these 12 verses here in chapter 23, and we could just look at it and move on. But it's in Scripture for a reason. And as I was reflecting on these texts, thinking of this Sunday, the rhetorical question that turned into the sermon title is, we're not like that, are we? And in the details, in the literal bit, of course we're not. We're not like that at all. We don't have phylacteries. We don't have boxes with Scripture passages tied on us anywhere. We don't have Scripture tied around one of our arms. Most of us anyway are not in a position where anyone would call us a teacher or a rabbi or a great leader, so that's not even a temptation for us. But are there ways that we can be similar? And the part that struck me more than anything else isn't this, you know, having big phylacteries and tassels and even sitting in places of honor at banquets. Although I like the translation that Gene read for us. They reserve seats for themselves in the synagogue. Well, I'm pretty sure if you wanted to reserve a seat for yourself here, people would be perfectly fine with it. No, it's something altogether different. Because what we see in verse 4, and even into verse 3, do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy loads and put them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. And as I was thinking of this, I was thinking of, does this text have anything to say to us? I think it does. And it does in a couple of places. And that's one of them, where they tie up heavy loads and put them on people's shoulders. Is this something that we ever do? And the thing that we need to remember, of course, is that the Pharisees and these teachers of the law didn't wake up every morning and think, how can I make somebody else's life miserable? We're not talking about psychopathic personalities here. We're not talking about people who enjoy just making things hard for other people. But their behaviors have led them into a situation where they may as well be that way, because that's more or less what they're doing. And I sometimes wonder, do we do this? Have we, from the perspective of our own growth in faith, do we sometimes look at people who are perhaps new to the church or new to Scripture or new to anything and just assume that they know everything we do? Tell them what they need to do and just wait for them to do it. Well, sometimes I think we might. Sometimes we might expect that people will know how to behave in church. And, I mean, we're a fairly understanding lot here. But what would we do, for example, if somebody came and looked at this not so much as a church service with a sermon in it, as a workshop with a speaker? and interrupted whoever was preaching to ask a question of clarification. It doesn't happen very often. One of the reasons why is, for better or worse, we don't have a lot of people coming to church who don't have any idea what's going on, but what would we do with that? And I use that one because it's nice and theoretical. And I'm pretty sure that all things being equal, we'd be pretty understanding about that. And we would just let this person ask their question. If I was the one up here, I'd like to think I would just give them whatever clarification they need, and then we'd move on. But what about some of these other heavy loads that we put on people? I think of this whole younger generation that's grown up a bit at sea with how to behave. That they've grown up in a culture that has told them all kinds of things that we know aren't true. But we aren't there all the time. I think of my children and other people's children and grandchildren, and the things that they think are normal. I mean, we've reached the point now where it's normal to send what most of us would call inappropriate pictures of yourself to someone you barely know. And what's our response to that? We see this kind of thing happen, or we hear about it. It frequently turns out very badly. But what do we do what's our response to that? The response that I've seen from the church in a larger setting frequently is, well, they should have known better, and they get what they deserve. And I understand that temptation. But I think that's tying a very heavy load up and putting it on somebody and then not lifting a finger. Not because of this particular person, but because we've reached a point in our culture, and if we want, we could spend hours bemoaning the church's abrogation of their responsibility, and you talk about how bad our culture is, and we would just join every other generation that's talked about how bad our culture is. But instead, I'd be more interested in us thinking of how do we respond to people who have made mistakes, bad mistakes. Have we told them that they need to dig themselves out of this mistake, and when they're back to normal, we'd be happy to see them? When we talk to somebody who had a baby when they weren't expecting it, someone who went bankrupt through poor decisions that they were advised not to make, do we tell them to get all fixed up and then we'll help them because they made this? This is their responsibility. That's a pretty heavy load to tie up and put on somebody and expect them to take care of that on their own. This has been on my mind a lot lately. And it's been on my mind, I think, primarily because of what's going on with this whole idea of starting to pay closer attention, particularly for people like me, privileged white men in a culture that, you know, and I'm even tall, which means all the deck is completely stacked in my favor. Trying to understand what it's like to be a woman in this culture. And we see these people working pretty hard at helping us to see that it's not all a bed of roses. And the latest thing, and I hardly ever sort of go into what you might call sort of a news-based topical sermon, but one of the things that's been on my mind is what's going on with the situation with Gian Gomeshi. And whatever the truth is, I don't know, because I wasn't there, and honestly, I find the whole situation repellent. But what I find so fascinating is the number of people who will say out loud, and apparently seriously, that these women should have just gone to the police, and the fact that they didn't somehow means that they're less trustworthy. That's a heavy load to tie up and put on somebody. What we're asking people to do is to put themselves on trial in a way that we would never ask anyone else to do. It's a horrifying experience for any woman to report any kind of a sexual assault. They tend not to be believed. They are routinely told that they somehow brought this on themselves, that they bear some responsibility for the sinful and evil actions of somebody else. That's a heavy load to tie up and put on somebody. And we somehow, at least some people in the church, will look at this as saying, well, this is somehow a judgment on this person. And I just think, how are we helping them carry that load? In our case, and this in some ways is kind of theoretical for us too, because I mean, we're not living in a community where this happens a lot. We're not dealing with these things on a regular basis. But are we taking every opportunity that we have to lighten this load a little bit? Are we taking those opportunities when we're interacting with people to point out that God's grace extends to all of us? Are we taking the time to point out that anyone, great as they might be, can still be a servant? I come back to verse 12 in Matthew 23. For whoever exalts themselves will be humbled, and whoever humbles themselves will be exalted. And depending on where I'm feeling, depending on what's going on in my life, I break that verse into two parts. And the second part is quite comforting, and the first part's a bit of a threat. I don't think it's intended as a threat in the way that we often think of threats. I think it's just letting us know that those who exalt themselves will be humbled. Those of us who are willing to put ourselves in judgment over people we don't even know, people we've never met, about situations that we don't understand and don't have all the information on, are setting ourselves up to be humbled. Not in any kind of a retaliation from God. I think he's just saying, look, you can't be me, so stop trying. It's God who assigns greatness. It's God who recognizes true greatness. And if we try and take that upon ourselves, I think this is just, it's not so much a warning as a statement of cause and effect, that probably won't work out well for us. Because it didn't work out very well for the Pharisees. They set themselves up as arbiters, judges, decision makers on everything. And Jesus demonstrated that they were comprehensively wrong. The answer to the question, we're not like that, are we? I think is, well, I hope we're not, and how can we not be? One of the things that I see in the behavior of the Pharisees is this consistent refusal to look at people as they actually are, where they actually are. And instead, the Pharisees appeared to do what we frequently fall into, and that's to look at the world through the lens that we have and say, well, we could do better there, so that person should do better there. Forgetting perhaps that we have different education, that we have different health, that we have a different set of experiences. The Pharisees looked at everybody exactly the same and said that if they weren't like them, anyone who was not acting like a Pharisee, in a sense, had chosen to not do so in a way that was intentional. When perhaps that's not the case. One of the things that sets Jesus aside when we read the Gospels is how He went to where people were and ministered to them as they were. Jesus never says, I want you to fix yourself and then come here. Jesus says, I'm coming to you to fix you. We have a terrible tendency to want people to fix themselves before we'll help them. And sometimes we can't help people, and that's not what we're talking about. It's an orientation that says that when I'm comfortable being around you, then I'll be around you. Or that when you look like me and you talk like me, then we'll be together and I'll talk with you. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees because they refused to bend on things that were unimportant to minister to people about things that were of ultimate importance. And I realize how frequently I do the same. How frequently I will think when I see somebody in a situation that I don't care for, whether they're mighty or not, whether it's something I see in the news or whether it's someone I walk by on the street. And how often I think, well, if only you were more like me, then I could do something. If only you were more like me, the world would be such a better place. That's exalting myself. I'm not sure I want to be humbled. I'm not sure I want to end up the situation that we were talking about a couple of weeks ago, where a particular group of people just stopped asking Jesus questions because every time they asked him one of their questions trying to trick him, he made them look like idiots till finally they just gave up. I think instead I would rather try and be someone who is sufficiently humble that God will be interested in exalting me at some point. This text is a tricky one for us. Because we don't live in, at least most of us don't interact with that sort of stereotypical inner city, Vancouver's downtown east side, where we have these opportunities to reach out to people who are so dramatically different than us and help them when we can. But what about the people around us who are a little bit less like us? That we feel quite free to write off because we don't like their political views, or we don't like whatever it might be. I think what we're called to be here is those who minister to people that don't put heavy loads or even light loads on people, but are the kind who will reach out and help anyone carry whatever it is that they're being carried, that they're trying to carry already. We're all carrying burdens of one kind or another. I think what this passage can tell us today, or at least remind us of today, is that the burdens that other people have are theirs. Us adding to them is just unkind. And if we open our eyes, there's a pretty good chance that we can help somebody carry what they've got already. And when we do that, then we can answer the question, this rhetorical question. We're not like those rabbis, those Pharisees, those teachers of the law, are we? With the answer that no, we're not. We're not putting burdens on other people. We're not exalting ourselves and putting ourselves in judgment or saying that we can be in judgment over other people. Instead, we're saying, how can I help you? What can I do to lighten the burden that you have? Whether it's big or small, whether I'd consider it a burden or not, doesn't matter. How can I help you with the burdens that you have? How can we be more like Jesus and less like a Pharisee? Amen.